Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I am joined by my good friend, Alex Mofetis.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Welcome to the Middleman Podcast. You know, you, my friend, are a very interesting character.
I wonder.
Entrepreneur, you own, you own about what, 3-4 businesses?
Two, three things, as they say in Scranton.
Mm-hmm. You're extremely busy, and we've known each other for quite some time.
We have.
You know, just passerby conversation. Passerby conversation.
Absolutely. I think it was you were playing chess the one time, and I was like, that's awesome. People still play chess. I was like, oh, my.
Yes.
So that's great. Now, question for you. Like, tell me about why the middleman.
Why the middleman? Okay, yeah. As in why the title or?
Yeah, both. I don't know. You said you are the middleman and the podcast is the middleman.
The podcast is titled The Middleman Podcast. And that is because the way I view my platform is that I am in the middle from, you know, we're here in my apartment, my studio, and then the rest of the world. This video is going to be translated to the rest of the world.
Oh, shit. Okay? That's amazing.
It's going to be worldwide. So I am in the middle.
Worldwide.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Prestige worldwide. But I feel as if I am in the middle of basically just this area and internet because rightfully so, if I don't upload it, it doesn't get out there.
No.
You know, so
and you are that guy that's connecting point A to point C and you are B. You are the middle.
Exactly. And that's why the middleman, that's why the middleman podcast. And, you know, I've always, fixated myself on letting other people speak and allowing them to showcase their talent. And it definitely, I love hearing the response as in, hey, I heard of this person because of your episode.
Right. No.
You know,
and that's what's up, you know, having, you know, listenership or viewership or both really, that remain engaged. You know, anybody can do a podcast, but you know, not everybody could do an interesting one. So,
and not everybody. Yeah, exactly. Keeping the engagement is one of the hardest things as a podcaster. Yeah. And that's the realism of it, you know, because as you said, anyone can have a conversation. This is something that my teammates and I keep talking about, you know, working over. And I'll be honest. Have you ever seen like the Eric Andre show?
I haven't.
Okay. It was a really, really wacky interview show, like extremely wacky. Okay. But like I've pondered the idea of possibly just doing something completely irrelevant to what's going on in the show right now, just to get a reaction and see. But it's like, that's the engagement,
right?
You know, part of it. Like, oh, what is he going to do on this episode?
Oh yeah.
To this person.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably going to say some crazy shit and you're going to use him as shorts and it's going to be wonderful because I'm.
Yeah, you do say some pretty outlandish shit, but it's respective. You know, like one of my favorite clips that I've seen from you through Eric, you had a show with.
Yeah, my buddy, good buddy Eric Mina, who I met when he was a magician randomly at Backyard one night. I'm sitting there with my cousin and some friends, and all of a sudden this dude shows up, you know, behind the bar, and he starts doing tricks. And I was like, who's this asshole? And I was like, what is this about? And I was just like, whoa, amazed. And then we're talking and, you know, he's tans like I do. And I'm like, you know, what's your background? He's like, Lebanese. And I was like, my Greek cousin. That's what's up. You know, and we've been best friends ever since. So he went, did hypnosis and then went comedy hypnosis entertainment route. And then he just did his podcast recently and it's awesome. Just a really good time. I enjoyed just talking to him. It's just wonderful.
I enjoyed listening to that interview and understanding how you work. Cause I felt like that interview really showcased a lot of your business.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it showcased a lot of your business. Your ideology as a boss, referring to the outlandish comments, you know, like I fired customers, you know, like I fired clients, you know, like,
Everyone like, it's like, whoa. Well, how would you do that? They're paying you. And I was like, sometimes there's no amount of money that's worth the aggravation. Took time to get there. You know, it took me realistically 12 years to get there and, you know, finally feel comfortable enough to say, okay, you were too much drama. We're not a good fit. And that's that, you know, because oftentimes anybody could say it to you, like the customer's like, oh, well, I don't want to work with you. You guys are difficult or whatever. But like, they can be difficult too. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you're, you know, waving a dollar around doesn't mean the bartender's going to come up to you. That's actually the opposite of what a bartender will do. Oh, I need a drink. No mm-hmm. one cares. Like, be nice. Wait your turn.
And you're big. Man, for like customer service, oh, you know, yeah. you love the customer service aspect of
it's
it. You know,
we sell customer service. I don't sell print. It's customer service.
That's such a great motto. And as a business owner, and I'm sure that your, you know, employees can appreciate that type of mindset, you know, but let me just take a step back here.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's just get to find out who Alex Mofetis is. The people who don't know who you are. Exactly.
I have no idea what it is. Do I shine shoes? Maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. But I honestly want to go to like the beginning of it because when I was listening to Eric's podcast, I was honestly kind of inspired at the fact that you purchased your plot of your building there.
Yeah. So
at the age of 21.
So the beginning, so it was a Tuesday, March 5th, 1985, 9:02 a.m. When I was born in Brooklyn, New York. Long time ago, I don't even know where to start. I mean,
well, let's talk about what got you into Scranton, right? So you started out in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
correct.
So random things, educational background. I grew up in a Greek community. I'm Greek. Everyone who knows me knows I'm Greek. Went to Greek parochial school, kindergarten to eighth grade. Spoke Greek at home. Then in school, I learned to read, write, and further, you know, my Greek education, plus other things. Greek class was only like 45 minutes a day. But again, when you speak it at home, whatever, and when all the kids around you are Greek, that's, you know, whatever. So I graduated salutatorian, got some awards, whatever, and I had the option of high schools because New York lets you, you know, either you're going to your neighborhood school or you're going to go to a specialized school. And I tested for the specialized high schools, and I missed it, I think, by like a point or two. The night before, my grandmaster told my dad's mom that grandma passed away. And I don't know. I mean, it was sad. You know, someone passes away, or, you know, emotional. Mm-hmm. And whatever. So I still got into a medical science high school in the middle of Flatbush. And I was kind of forced to go. I got into my neighborhood high school with honors, but then I got into this other MedSci high school, and everyone's like, you gotta go. I was like, I don't want to go.
Was it your family who was putting that added pressure?
My principal, my mother, and I get it. So I've always been kind of like my own road type of thing. I learn things on my terms. Books are great. You know, I'm more of an auditory listener, and you know, the secret behind school is that the professor is going to talk about the subject, and the subject he talks about with all the details, or he or she, will be on the test. Mm-hmm. The book's the book. It's supplemental, but whatever they tell you is pretty much going to be there. I mean, schools are just memorization tools. That's it. You learn how to memorize. You know, with the occasional piece that you can carry on. So anyway, so I did a semester, made some good friends. Then I stopped going.
Okay.
I just said, whatever. Because hop on the train, get to Atlantic Pacific, hop on the two, go towards Flatbush. And when you get to Pacific Street Station, whoever, you know, knows New York, you could go anywhere. Literally. It's like the, you know, almost last stop, you know, out of Brooklyn, near downtown Brooklyn. Now, I guess the Brooklyn Nets have a arena above there. But anyway. So world is my oyster. Instead of going to Flatbush, I'd go into the city. There were days where I'd just get off the train and walk from Canal Street or Financial District just all the way up to Midtown, go to the movies, do, I don't know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, if I stayed on the Brooklyn side, I'd go to the promenade, which overlooks the city, and I'd sit there, I'd write, I'd draw, you know, random things. I don't know. But like the New York City education, the street education, I thought was entertaining. A random time, there was a little old lady who was trying to go to a Russian Orthodox monastery in Uptown. And she was trying to figure it out. And I looked at, you know, the map and I pointed it out to her, what stop. And then I was like, you know what? I got nothing going on. So I was like, let's go, you know, and off we went. And it was amazing. You know, sometimes you just got to let life guide. And oftentimes we don't allow it because we try to control things too much. But anyway, you know, neither here nor there.
How do you subside the controlling factor of your life? You know, because I feel like, you're an extremely organized individual.
Yeah. Know, when I it comes, try to be.
Yeah.
It just has to flow. You know, you have to want it to flow. You have to find something that suits you. And again, like the literal phrase, like beating to your own drum. You have to figure out what your drum is and at what tone it's beating. So neither here nor there. My mom finds out that I haven't been going to school. So my mom found out I hadn't been going to school on Wednesdays.
Oh, okay.
So I had a friend in the attendance office that would mark me in every day, except when she wasn't working in the attendance office, which was Wednesdays. So guidance counselor calls, where's Alex? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Misses every Wednesday. My mom has no idea, you know, and whatever. So we go, we have a meeting. At that point, I told my mother I've smoked and she was upset, but, you know, she wasn't hard. Me and my mom have a phenomenal, you know, friendship relationship. She's my mother, I respect her, but we have a friendship, which is nice.
It's beautiful.
So the logical decision, which was my decision, which was awesome. You know, I told her, I don't want to go here. I want to go to the other school. It's April. And, what do you think about me going to Greece with grandma? And she's like, absolutely. So then I moved, to Greece for a couple months, which was awesome. I was, I don't know what year was that? 2000, 2001, something like that. So I stayed there a bunch of months, hung out with my cousins who were like a year or two older than me. And it was a blast. It was a cultural experience. So I did that and came back for summer school, you know, part two of summer school, and then went to the school with all my friends. But old habits die hard. And I went. And so one of the underlying things with this stuff, so I mentioned the specialized high schools. From sixth grade, every weekend, every summer, and 3 days a week, I would be taking courses that were accelerated for the specialized high schools, because the specialized high schools were more like college.
Mm-hmm.
So everything high school was trying to teach me, I already learned, you know, condensed sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. And it was fun. Made some, you know, friends in New York who are from different schools, because when you go into Greek school, you're kind of like in a bubble. And I always knew that it was meant to be out of that bubble.
Yeah.
So anyway, so dropped out again, you know, lo and behold. Then I took a GED, scored top 5% of the state. So by no means am I like stupid or dumb or whatever. And then I said, okay, I'm done with this and I'm going to go work because, well, I need money. My parents are, you know, we didn't grow up with a lot. And, you know, if I wanted to do the things I wanted to do, you know, whatever. And I've always been a little industrious. So to hop around a little, to give you an idea before coming to Scranton, printing. I've always loved printing. 1995, got my first computer scanner and Canon bubble jet printer. And I'd print, you know, business cards from mom's friends, prayer cards for the church folks and all that. And then while I did attend high school, I would make fake report cards. they were super cheap paper, dot matrix printers. It was like, beep, 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 you know, all that stuff. Photoshop One. I don't even know if it was called Photoshop. So I'd cut and paste from a couple different ones that we scanned and they were amazing replicas.
Wow.
I had like a street team, dude.
Yeah.
I was like,
dude, your street cred was probably through the roof. They were like, yo, you got some bad grades. Go find Alex. Who's Alex?
Yeah, but they didn't know like who. Like they knew, but they didn't know because I had salesmen. You would charge 25, 30, whatever it was worth. And I'd charge like 15, 20 bucks. High school had 5,000 kids. Good numbers. Anyway.
So even before you were involved in like a whole business aspect,
legitimate business?
Yeah, you were over here gaining your side hustle, you know?
Exactly. And it's Brooklyn. You got to have a hustle, mm-hmm. you know? There's plenty of places to work and do that, but you got to have like a side hustle because things are expensive. So yeah, anyway, so that was that. And I'm sitting working in retail banking. I loved banking. And then I said one day after reading a part of a Tony Robbins book at my buddy's house, I was like, I got to go. I was like, I just got to get out of here. So luckily in the 80s, my parents, you know, were fortunate enough to buy and build a house not far from Scranton. And I looked at schools and the U was out of my price range and Marywood was out of my price range. But there was Lackawanna and Lackawanna College right across from the Greek church. And I go to my mom. I was like, listen, you know, I got to find my path. And here's the school and here's the Greek church. And she's like, all right. She's like, why not?
It's a win-win.
So six garbage bags of clothes later, I moved into the house and rolled. And it was a great experience being on my own. You know, it was a little scary, a little nerve-wracking. And you got to have a voice in the back of your head that says, don't screw up. And that was my mom's voice. My grandfather, God rest his soul, grandma's voice, you know, in the back of my mind saying, hey, make us proud.
May I ask you a question real quick before we proceed?
Yeah.
You mentioned you were reading a book. Okay.
Yeah. Couldn't even remember the title, but.
Okay. But do you remember what maybe, like, what was so significant about the book that made you feel like you needed to get out?
Yeah. So it was like, okay, you know, you determine your goal and, you know, your pros and cons things. And I usually pro and con a couple things when I'm thinking about something drastic or crazy. You know, it's almost like what they call cost benefit analysis. So I saw it and I wrote down, you know, move away for school and, you know, what's the pro, what's the con and stuff like that. And the balance was move away. So I said, that's when I got to go. And I love my friends that I grew up with. Sadly, we don't keep as much in touch because I moved 2 hours away and everybody has their own lives. And once in a while I hit a like button or something and, you know, that's that. You know, I put time and effort to people who put time and effort towards me, and as we all should, you know, if you're...
But life happens. We get it.
Exactly. Your relationships are one-sided, you got to, you know, start thinking about that. So, so I moved up. College was great. It was right at the speed where I needed it to be. I did great. I did Dean's List a couple times, President's List a couple times.
And you were majoring in?
Media technologies and media studies. This stuff before this stuff existed. So I was one of the last classes that was like end of analog, beginning of digital. Very strange place. Didn't know where I'd go with it. So what did I do after college? Went back to retail banking. And, you know, a couple things during there. One night I'm out, episode 3 of Star Wars was in theaters, and me and a couple buddies were just driving around, and the theater downtown that just reopened was open.
Amazing.
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy it's open. Shout out.
So the radio station's outside, and it's got to be like 8, 9 o'clock or something. I don't know. It was late at night. Mm-hmm. So I park on Penn Ave between Spruce and Lackawanna. And we walk over and we got free tickets to see the movie, which was awesome. And on the way out, I look at this big yellow building with red letters. And I'm like, wow, what is this place? And it had a for sale sign. And I kind of peeked through and I was like, this looks cool. And I don't know, something just drew me to it. It didn't look like a McDonald's, but it was just bright yellow, red accents. And it said Scranton something, stove repair.
Stove repair.
So anyway. So I inquire and put some capital together and I bought it and, you know, we'll get to stuff here and there and around and whatever. But I said, you know what? I've always loved being here. I remember coming to the area as a kid and it was bittersweet. Sundays we'd leave and go back, but somehow Sundays were always like the most beautiful fall days where like the leaves are all changing colors and it's crisp and cool, but still a little warm. And I was like, wow. I'm going back to the shit city, you know, so I don't know. I enjoyed the city. You know, when I went back to work, I got hired by a big financial firm in the city to do international finance, and I moved back home. And that was an experience. I was working 5:30 to 5:30 and Friday nights would turn into Saturday mornings, you know, out and about and
cool.
Crazy mysteries and crazy things. But yeah, all these experiences, you know, kind of brought me to where it.
So one of the things that really intrigues me the most, right, yeah. is that you went out and you found this building, right? You found this building and something just told you to purchase it, right? And you had no plan? Am I?
Not directly, okay. No. I just saw a nice size city and a good piece of real estate and a historic downtown, and I said, something's going to be good here. I don't know. And at the time, I look back, I paid $185,000, and everyone's like, oh my God, you're crazy. That's so expensive. You know, now there's buildings that are selling for $600,000-$700,000. And I'm like, huh, who's crazy now? So yeah, I don't know. I just saw opportunity and potential. And that's how it's always been for me in the city of Scranton. It's there. It's just that so many factors, both human and, you know, natural, have just like led to a lot of its demise over the years.
Are we speaking about the city?
The city of Scranton.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll fast forward for the relevance. So right after I got laid off from said financial firm, I moved up here and, slowly started a business. And what do I know? Well, I know printing and, you know, through a friend, I met my business partner, Kurt, and we kind of started Center City Print. It was supposed to be called Center Street Print because Center Street is the side street. And a buddy of mine calls me one day and he's like, hey, how's Center City Print? And I was like, that's the fucking name. I was like, that's the
name. Love that.
So,
It just fell in your lap.
Oh, yeah. So I was so excited. First 6 months operating, we grossed 15,000. And I was like, oh my God, I have this real company. It's great. And I know.
At the age of?
20. Wait. Hold on. I'm 38 now. It's 11 years. Shit. 27.
Wow.
Yeah. Which kind of like feels young and feels old.
Wait, excuse me. So let me just backtrack real quick. Yeah. To my understanding, just based off a previous interview that I saw, you purchased that plot of land.
Oh, that was 05. I was like 20.
At 20.
Yeah.
So you maintained and kept that property.
Yeah. It sat for a while. Then the Vintage Theater was there. They were in an awesome all ages music venue and coffee shop. It was great.
I like that you took a leap, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's a leap.
You kind of have to. Again, calculations.
Bold.
You know, you just do it. And so, again, another leap with, you know, starting a print shop. There's already a bunch of print shops. And we're like, you know what? We could do it better. There's a reason, I guess, what pushed me towards it other than experience. Because we did a job for a restaurant and we farmed out because we weren't printers. So we farmed out the print and I got charged an insane amount of money, like robbery. Okay. Something that it was like 100 menus, ended up paying like $8 a menu where like the same item now I charge 95 cents a piece. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I got had. Just whatever. It is what it is. It's fine.
But you learned from it.
Oh, I learned immensely, you know, and that's what they call the cost of doing business. You know, anytime you lose money, it was a lesson. So anyway, so we did that, whatever, to hop around. Current day, we're working on a project. We're wrapping traffic control boxes in Scranton. And there's a big face on these. They're 47 inches tall, 36 inches wide on the front, 16 inches wide on the sides, and you know, if there's a back panel. And depending on how you're standing in front of these, you will see old Scranton. So there's one right outside of downtown Delhi. It faces the Times, and you'll see pictures of what the Times look like historically. Then when you stand on the one side of it, you'll see up Penn Avenue, what it used to be. You know, now there's PNC and an empty park, but there used to be buildings. There actually used to be a Greek restaurant from what I'm told. Then you look down the block, don't have photos down the block. My block is like one of the ones that photos don't exist, but there's pieces like the old Scranton Times building or where the movie theater is used to be, a beautiful department store. So anyway, there's 11 of these. So while I'm doing this, I had like a what the fuck moment. And my what the fuck moment was, who over the history of Scranton has allowed these buildings to be demolished and destroyed, and it's just so off-putting. But then again, you look at New York, and they destroyed this gorgeous glass Penn Station to build Madison Square Garden, which I love the Knicks. But, yeah, New York Knicks. But it's like, dude, you know, and I get it. We go through phases and, you know, postmodern stuff exists and, you know, the vintagey things now, which are not my style at all.
May I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
I was talking to 570 Exotics, Drew Chase, and, you know, something that kept coming up in a podcast and conversation-wise was historic NEPA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, dude, so much history.
Are you one of those that would like to preserve historic?
As much as possible.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So random thing, and moving here, because we're going to hop around. We're going to talk about a lot of things. So one of the things that I thought was a drawback when I got here, I went out with a friend one night. We went to a very affluent neighborhood, to one of his schoolmates' houses. And me, I was dressed like I'm homeless. So I'm wearing a hoodie. I wear glasses. I have contacts in, but I'm wearing my glasses. I usually keep a beard or a shadow. And we walk into this house. And this guy goes to my buddy. He's like, yo, you know, I don't know this guy. He's not welcome here. He doesn't really look shifty. And I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. And my buddy backs me up or whatever. But there's always this weird, like, oh, you're not from here. We don't accept you. So with that.
In here?
Not in here.
Okay.
In the area. No, here, no, we're,
in
we're this, good.
In the in area. Area. In the sorry. Area. No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah.
100%. So while I'm purchasing, you know, after I purchase the building, I go see the wonderful folks at the Historical Society and doing research. And I had heard from relatives that my dad's grandfather, my great grandfather, had left Greece, settled in Milwaukee, and on his way stopped in the Northeast region. You know, we're talking 1800s. Yeah. And lo and behold, I find out he worked on the rail lines. And I said to myself, motherfucker. I was like, wow. So a lot of the times with people who have this ethos, attitude, whatever, I'm like, oh, when did your family settle here? And they're like, oh, you know, 1900s. I'm like, oh, well, my great-grandfather was here working on the rail lines before you even knew what Scranton was. So, like, back the fuck up.
Respect
so
that.
I just... Be nice. Yeah. Your moral of the story is be nice. You never know who you're going to come across. And not everybody's, you know, just like, oh, you're not from here. You're not from here. Like, get out of here. You know, we're all trying to preserve and keep the area great and just make it better, you know, make it great again.
Well, this is something that I was speaking to with Michael earlier, as far as, you know, just this area. And, you know, I've heard it time and time again from the day I've gotten here to where we're at now that Scranton is in like a revolutionary stage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Rebuilding, I would say, somewhat. Slow and arduous, but rebuilding.
Well, this morning I'm going outside to go grab our Arizonas, you know, go grab some morning coffee, so on and so forth. We got a boom on the side of this road.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
We got a pocket park being built over there.
Yeah.
We got levels, you know, being constructed into whatever it's supposed to be constructed. And we got
beautiful
buildings.
Restaurant. I did a walkthrough yesterday.
We got buildings just constantly reforming.
Yes.
You know, and right now, I've been here for four years now.
Awesome.
You know, so to me, this is a big change.
Oh, massive. Like, I mean, I've been here for almost 20 and like, you know, at one point when I lived in the building, there was like me, aside from the halfway house, there was like me and one other guy who lived downtown, and that was it. Like, I was made a joke, like, on a Tuesday night, you can run out of your apartment naked, and no one will see you because there's no one around. You know, now that's changed. And from, like, a factual mail perspective, because I do direct mail for customers, postcards and stuff. Since then to now, there are 1,500 residential addresses, which is amazing. You know, that beats the you know, Waverly Post Office, which was like 470-something, 450-something. Downtown's got 1,500, which I think speaks volumes for, you know, the improvements that Scranton's made. But there's always more to do, you know, always. Little things, little adjustments. There's still some random blight pieces that exist, some maintenance things that aren't getting done, which, you know, whatever. Rome was built in a day. I get it.
One of my personal favorite buildings in this city has to be the Scranton Cultural Center.
It's amazing. It is. Raymond Hood was the architect. So random fact, little back alleyway back here.
Yes.
That's Raymond Court. And it's named after Raymond Hood, the architect who designed the cultural center, among other things.
Yeah, that I didn't know that. So kudos to Mr. Raymond here.
I know lots of Scranton facts, like the guy who designed Central Park, designed Nayak Park. And what? Kirby Park in Wilkes-Barre. Yep, same guy.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and it's things I think that some people just...
It's overlooked.
Like, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, people who are here generationally don't know or don't care to know or whatever. But like, in order to understand something, you got to know where it came from. You know, how did we get into debt? You know, what did I spend my money on and why am I broke? You know, whatever. You know, you got to know the root of the problem in order to solve the problem, so...
Okay, so, you know, let's go back to a few of the businesses that you have here. You know, we started with Center City Print.
Center City Print, yep.
It started out, you know,
small. Very small. And
you said, you were mentioning how you had to outsource someone printing your products.
So, in the very, very beginning.
Yeah, so in the very beginning, was it more of just like a design?
Yeah, it was design, web, you know, stuff like that. Web, when web was like HTML, I guess, and before WordPress, before all this stuff. And we were happy, you know, and then we got a, you know, a commercial grade printer and we were rolling with that and, you know, a new paper, a new bunch of things. And I'm like, okay, you know, this raffle ticket's got to feel this heavy. This booklet should be shiny, you know, all these things. And we had a lot of good friends and you know, that support us still, which is awesome. And we've always been community driven, you know, what is it? Gandhi be the change you know,
whatever. I'm not too sure of
something
the quote.
Like that.
I like to say that your business and you as a character, community staple.
Yeah. I mean, we try. From, you know, supporting Ronald McDonald House and a handful of other charities, Children's Advocacy Center, you know, all that to like someone's, you know, dying of cancer and they're hosting a benefit and we'll just do what we got to do. There's an acquaintance, I guess, that used to work here downstairs at Ale Mary's who, I guess, I don't know if he took a stroke or an aneurysm or something. Anyway, they're hosting a benefit. A buddy reached out. He's like, I need to buy some posters for this benefit. And I was like, he's like, how much? And I was like, $3.99. He's like, what? I was like, it's free. I was like, it's a benefit. You know, I'm not trying to make money on the backs of a guy who needs, you know, every dollar of support he can get. Mm-hmm. You know, and the goodwill goes far, you know. It's one of those things, like they always say in business, you do something good, 4 people hear about it. You do something bad, 13 hear about it. So I try to do as much good as possible so that way more than 4 people hear about it. And that's been one of the best tenets of this business. Just doing what we can do to help and support. And, you know, we're big community advocate. Our one of our taglines is committed to our community because we are, you know, we, in the midst of all the things, we started something called the Paperback Foundation. So it's like a double, you know, meaning, paperback books and mm-hmm. paperback to the environment. And, the goal is to donate company funds, raise money in the community from even other printers to basically keep our area green, you know, and keep it as environmentally sound as possible. And it sounds ironic because we're a print shop and we're trying to go get people to do paperless things, but I mean, nothing lasts forever. I don't know. You know, but again, we're there. I mean, you're always going to need business cards. You're always going to need some sort of pamphlet or brochure, art prints, everything, you know, banners, signs, you name it. We can do it.
I love that. And when you're working with customer and customer service is your motto, it's something that you guys really pride yourself on. You know, you just mentioned that you said $3.99. You know, I've heard you constantly say it's just paper.
Yeah, no, you know, it is. Just, I mean, 90% of what we make goes in the garbage anyway. So, you know,
and then to give back to the environment.
Yeah.
Is tremendous.
Yeah, just trying.
I think that's absolutely amazing because there's a lot of companies who will reap the rewards of what makes them money and not even put back into
And that's like a lot of the problems where like you have like watershed issues in like Michigan and, you know, all over the country where these big factories used to be in like Superfund sites, like even the Gowanus Canal in Brooklyn, like companies were just literally pouring waste into the water. It's almost like how The Simpsons, you know, always shows the nuclear plant won't runoff thing. And I'm like, dude, you know, this is, you gotta build and maintain for the next generation. And somewhere after World War II, there's a, I don't know, like an abscess in people's minds about that stuff. But the environment's important. Our bodies are important. You know, it's, I don't know. I think, you know, when there's balance, it's good.
So when you refer to starting out your business, correct? You know, I want to know if there have been any big mistakes that you would care to share, you know, because I'm sure they've happened.
Straight up being too nice to customers. Sometimes some people take advantage of it, you know, whatever, but that's everywhere. You know, in my mind, and people agree and disagree. Sometimes I think people are inherently evil. and it comes from being selfish. You know, people can be inherently selfish. What's good for me, you know, it's whatever. So that's kind of what happens. Other than, you know, talking about firing customers, just taking on jobs with people who will never be pleased. And that's what happens. And that's kind of where, you know, firing customers is okay, because there's some deep rooted issues as to why they're never going to be pleased. And we're not a psychology company. You know, we're not psychologists, you know, or psychiatrists. I don't know what will ever please them, and, you know, go with God, as they say.
Ultimately, you like to keep the peace within yourself. You like to keep the peace within the company, within your coworkers. You know, I've used the acronym PEACE. Proper evaluations allows controllable emotions.
Yes.
You know, so just trying to maintain that peace. And that's a great quality as a boss, you know.
Yeah.
So as a spectator, as a man, as how you run your business, and the way you run your business is pretty comical, if you ask me, because you keep it simple, you know, almost keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly.
You know?
That is, like, one of our things. We try not to overcomplicate. So when you come to us, there's four kinds of paper. All right. And we're, you know, there's sparkly paper too and stuff like that. But there is a letterhead paper, a brochure paper, a cover stock for postcards, and a matte version of the postcards. That's it. You get matte gloss, thick or thin. That's all. And plain paper. But that's it. There's no, I need, you know, 62-pound vellum, Bristol, blah, blah, blah. No. Like, just, this is what we have. What are you trying to accomplish? You want a raffle ticket? The 100 pounds good. Mm-hmm. You want an event poster? The gloss 100 pounds good. You want a letterhead? It's a letterhead. It's nice. It feels good. You know, and the brochure is a brochure. I just, overcomplicating leads to more expense, and I'm stuck with the inventory. Because when it's done and you got your 100 pieces, but I had to order 1,000, you don't give a fuck. It's like, that sucks for you. You know, so we try to hone it in. And again, it's waste. Like, I don't want to waste. So we keep it, you know, as real as we can.
You know, it's hard to say if maybe that would work for everyone, but
do you think
most companies try to keep it that way?
Yes, 1,000%. Like, we were talking about electric scooters, and we ride around town on a high boy, you know, shout out to high boy. but while I'm in Greece, I go to a department store and I see a Xiaomi, and they make cell phones, and they, you know, they're in that market. They're out of China, and it looks identical. The only thing different was the badging. Hmm. And you have these manufacturers that make items, and a spring is a spring is a spring. You know, there might be multiple people that make them, but they make springs, and everyone's going to buy the spring, and they're going to utilize the spring. So it's just thoughts like that. Keeping it structured reduces waste. And speaking of structure, time, things like that, I'm structured, but unstructured. Mm-hmm. So on a day to day, like, you know, I expound a lot about it on Eric's podcast.
You evaluate customers, you know, their request as well too.
Oh yeah.
You know, you go above and beyond.
We do. So, you know, on that and on structure and whatever, I pop into the store the other day, cause I'm really out of production now. I have a great team. They take care of things. Once in a while, problems show up. So I roll up trying to figure out how to print some oversized envelopes. And a couple is in there with some wedding envelopes, and it's on sparkly paper, which doesn't print on a normal envelope printer. It's got to be in the toner based, you know, heat printer. And, you know, it was like shaking the rust off, you know. And then finally I just grabbed the job, got it in, done within 15 minutes. And they were elated, you know, that we stayed. Now we shifted our store hours to 6 p.m. because there's always like the random last minute, especially on Friday it happens, you know, and that's why we're there. We're there. I mean, I had one of my buddies late last night hit me up and he's like, oh, you know, I just got out of work. I got to pick up this board for tomorrow. And I gave him instructions and door codes and he got in, did what he needed to do and got his job and he was happy. But that's what we do. You know, if I'm on vacation, doesn't matter. You know,
Self-efficient.
That's it. I'll go to Greece. You know, I'm 7 hours ahead, so I get to enjoy, you know, 7 hours of the day before everyone else is even up. And then I'll take calls. You know, I don't care. And they're like, oh, but you're on vacation. But I was like, yeah, it's only vacation. I'm here for 3 weeks. Like, there's only so much time.
And something I've noticed about you is that work is never finished.
It's never done. There's an old Greek saying, food you can leave for tomorrow, but work you don't leave.
So what a unique saying, bro. That to me is a mindset.
It is.
It's such a mindset.
And I'm all about mindset. I'm all about mindset. Structure. So as unstructured as I can be, I'm pretty structured. Down to the socks, as they say. So I have a winter set, summer set. They're all the same. Summer
That's
ones.
That's gangster.
Under Armour, ankle socks. Winter is whatever. Sam's Club. You know, longer socks because I hate having cold feet. Levi's 569, variety of colors, couple pairs. Usually I just buy one color and buy four pair and just rotate. Shout out to Bella Canvas for making the most comfortable t-shirt ever. I don't know what color I don't own. And I just have a variety of V-necks. That's why I always look the same. When I worked on Wall Street, there was a guy who we thought never went home. Every day he'd come in wearing black pants, white button down, no tie because you didn't need to wear a tie. And we're like, yo, this guy must like, I don't know, party all night and just come straight to work and no sleep. And someone approached him and he's like, you know, do you ever go home? And he's like, yeah, why? He's like, well, you're always wearing the same shit. And he goes, well, this isn't a fucking fashion show. This is work. And I'm like, damn. Whew. You know, and then you look at guys like Steve Jobs and those guys and, you know, it's the less decision you need to make. So yes, there's a variety of colors, but like I open a drawer, I grab the socks, I grab, you know, the same brand underwear, whatever. My jeans are there. I pick a pair of, you know, all that.
You can do it with your eyes shut.
I do it in the dark because I usually wake up 3-4 in the morning. I don't want to wake up the family. And anymore, I kind of preload it into the bathroom. It's just sitting there. And then maybe I'm OCD, maybe I got, you know, whatever, but contact lenses, followed by deodorant, followed by nasal rinse, followed by toothbrush, toothpaste, and I go.
I mean, that's completely normal because I don't know about you, Mike. I know for myself, I always put my socks on then my shoes on. You know, I don't do sock, shoe. That's crazy.
I don't know that I've ever seen anyone do that. That's interesting. Sock, shoe.
There's someone who does it out there, you know, and I hope I never run into that person.
So then there's like these weird things that like, I don't know. I no longer believe in
it's
like
not weird,
dumb
it's
lock.
Routine for you.
Well, right. No, but like I used to say, you know, there were days where I would just put my left shoe on first and maybe those days weren't great. And then I'd switch to put my right shoe on first. And I realized none of that really matters because there's no such thing as luck to me. It's you work hard and you know, things, you make things happen. You manifest those things. So the moral of the story with those structured things is that there's less things to worry about. There's anxiety. Am I going to look good? Oh my, I don't care. I'm going to look fine because I look clean and presentable and I don't smell like poop and, you know, whatever. So that worries out the door. Plus the like 3 minutes a day, 365 days, how many hours, you know what I mean? You get back in a year, just not worrying about having to pick clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, cause time is everything. You know, I always tell people and my wife included, I was like, when I die, I want my tombstone to read, I wish I had more time. You know, and I've said this countless times to people, the only thing I can't make is more time.
Yeah.
You know, I can print anything, I can build stuff, I can do whatever, now, just can't make more time.
You wish you had more time. Would you ever say that you feel like you've wasted time or you've cherished and utilized the time as best as you can?
So as I get older, youth is wasted on the young. Yes. Okay. I slowly see that. But it also comes with learning. Okay. All those mistakes, all the time wasted is a lesson. So now you have to say to yourself, how efficient, how effective can I be with the time that I have? And a lot of my life, you know, revolves around time. At a young age, I wondered, you know, how many days do we actually live? And on average, we live for about 30,000 days. So when you make it, you know, 80 years sounds like a lot. Mm-hmm. 30,000 days does not sound like a lot.
It does not sound like a lot.
But it's like roughly the same thing.
Wow.
So it's perception.
Perspective, yep.
Yeah, perspective, perception, all that stuff. So time is important. Now, that doesn't mean I'm like, oh, you're wasting my time coming here to do this podcast. No, I love this shit. You know, and I'm not busy all the time. I still have me time. You know, there's time for church, definitely time for family. I love my wife. I love my daughters and girl dad. It's awesome. I wouldn't have it any other way. After my first daughter was born, my wife, you know, a couple of years later told me, oh, I'm pregnant again. I was like, I hope it's a girl. And we had another little girl, and she's awesome and funny, and both of them have blonde hair, blue eyes, and look nothing like me. And that's, no, I mean, they have parts, but I'm surprised. You know, I got dark features that I thought that would have crept through. Nope, beautiful little blonde girls, and everyone who comes near them will be in trouble in the future. And yeah, but they got sass. They do, which is awesome.
See, time management is one of those things that I talk about often, you know, like, I often say I'm busy. And I'm busy because I'm doing something, right, whether it's related towards, and
absolutely,
as a boss, you know, and, you know, running your own show, we're at the helm.
Yeah.
Okay. We're at the helm of everything. And it never slows down. It will never slow down. And I like to tell people, hold on, I'll be there in an hour or two. I got to do podcast shit, you know, and it's like, don't take offense to it, or I want to hang out. I always want to hang out with my people, and I cherish the moment. I cherish the shit.
Right. But this is a priority, man. It's fun. You enjoy it. So yesterday was a prime example of what we call at work side quests. You play video games. How many games have got side quests?
Oh, many of them.
Lots. And you watch, you know, cartoons. You watch cartoons. So like I was watching Bad Batch.
Okay.
And even Mandalorian, and some of the episodes are just side quests. So on the topic of side quests, so I got my inbox, I do my things every day in the inbox, and then there's little side quests that I got to go do. And one of my employees, her window, her passenger window in her car wasn't going up for a while now. And I got tired of looking at it. So I was like, side quest, select. So I grabbed her car. Ran over to my glass guy. Shout out to First Class Glass. Jeff's the best if you need a windshield or anything. And I go to him and I was like, bro, I hate to bother you with this, but do you think you're going to help me get this window up? And we did. You know, that took like 45 minutes, but whatever. It needed to be done.
Yeah.
And on the schedule of things in life, you have to classify order of importance. Bottom of the inbox, get through. If it's something you know you can snooze, Gmail, good snooze button, boom, leave it for tomorrow. I get a snooze notification every day of the random things. I still got emails to do today. And then you pick on the tasks that you know you can complete with a certain amount of time and make sure you, you know, set that time. So this morning, my buddy who has a jewelry store in town is having hot cars, cool watches, and I have a really neat vehicle that my father-in-law was cool enough to let me borrow, and it needed cleaned. Now I've had it since Father's Day. I've driven it 5 times, and it's there. It's an afterthought. So I set out this morning, got my wife breakfast, vacuumed the car. Okay. They were going for a walk. I was coming down for this, went, washed the car, dropped it off over there. Well, came here, got a scooter, dropped it off over there, came here. You know, so that was my little side quest of the day. I'll probably have some more side quests. But it's about getting the important things done, or at least one really major important thing a day, and then maintaining the other stuff. And I always got work to do. You know, I always have to, you know, have some self-betterment. I can be a better dad. I could be a better boss. I could be a better husband, you know, and I've realized that, you know, you know, and you have to be aware. You have to have this awareness. If you walk around thinking you are amazing, you've already lost.
The constant pull, push, pull, you know, with being the prioritizing, making something a priority, you know, podcasting priority, family is a priority as well, you know, so it's just you find a balance and you find you what works for you. Yeah, you try. Sometimes it can be difficult than others. And I know you as a person who loves to, you know, serve with customer service, you don't like letting people down.
No, and it's bad.
And when you embark on these types of journeys and you do these and you're just running the show of whatever the case may be, you're going to let some people down.
So,
you
know, I've made... So, not lately, but sometimes I just make the wrong decision. Years ago, it was one of my best friends from high school growing up. It was his wedding weekend, and I had something else that was work-related that I just could not get out of. I had to do it, had to finish it that weekend, didn't go to Brooklyn to the wedding. That kind of led to a little bit of the rift, you know, whatever. There's other times where I've delayed dinner at the house or let my wife down countless times because a customer, you know, whatever. So these envelopes yesterday, and I was glad to do them. We're going to my wife's cousin's house and we didn't leave till like 6:30 because by the time I got home, got changed, whatever. Just part of it, you know, but I know. I don't know what really is the precedence of things as far as, okay, these envelopes were important to them and quality time is important to my wife, but it's easier to let down my wife than it is a customer. And I feel bad. I love you, Kelly. She'll listen. She loves listening to these and laughs at me and stupid things I say. But, you know, the thing that comes into me is it's, my family is my family. I keep them over here. My business is my business. I keep it over there. And,
compartmentalize.
Exactly. Yeah, and I try to avoid ever having my wife help me with work because I feel like our relationship is our relationship. The stresses of work shouldn't, you know, whenever she works for a healthcare company, she can't talk about her work with me because of HIPAA. And I tell her it's printer HIPAA. I can't talk about her work either, except if it's something cool. It's always easier to let down the ones you love. And just like we always yell at our family, you know, whatever. I'm Greek. We all yell at each other. You don't hide things, you know, you just let it all rip out. And, you know, Italians are the same, and, you know, Hispanic families are the same, and we just let it go, you know. But then we harbor no ill will because, like, we're cool. Me and my brother been fighting since 1985, you know, but like, he's my brother, I love him, you know. He will murder someone for me and I will do the same,
of course.
But we've almost murdered each other. So that's what makes it.
Yes. And yeah. Chris, my older brother, yeah, we've always murdered each other.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, and that's what comes with it. And it's a love and respect. But that's where, you know, it's easier to let down the ones you love than it is somebody who doesn't know you, because your wife's not going to write a Google review about you. She already gave me one star in my life. And, you know, Google, I want those 5 stars. So. But remaining focused, things like that, you know, just trying to be the best you that you can be, and really developing a regimen, I think
will lead
people to success. You know, you take an undertaking. How regimented are you with this? You know, every weekend, same time, same bad time, same bad place, you know, and that's what you do, and you want it to be successful, and you got to put the work in it. And if you have a great idea that has legs, you won't let anything stop you, you know, and that's what I tell people. It's important to maintain that focus and don't let anything stop you. If it's something good and, you know, just and right, you know, if you're going to be a drug dealer, you're not going to let anybody stop you. I mean, you're doing wrong. Everyone should stop you. Yeah. But, you know, and I always tell people this who may be listening, who may be miserable at work or something, but have a great idea, just pursue, do it, you know, weigh and measure pros and cons and really, you know, put the best foot forward. And if you're not in the position to just outright leave your job, work at it. You know, all that extra time where you're sitting there browsing Netflix, trying to figure out what to watch, that's wasted time. Go into Netflix knowing what you're going to watch, But no, I mean, really, it's you know, you got to sit there and say, okay, you know, I'm sitting on my ass. I should probably get the fuck up and go do something. And that's what happens to me at like 5 a.m. I'm like, all right, let's go. You know, pop, pop, let's go.
That happens to me often.
And sometimes you got to just, it's okay. It's Sunday. Sundays are all right, you know. You know, it's, but it's, you know, you could do it. That's why I'm shitty at vacationing, you know.
Because you're always working.
Always trying.
So we're going to transition into tea time here in a minute. So usually.
Tell me about tea time.
Oh, I will tell you about tea time.
Are we golfing?
No. Although someone wants me to go on a golf course and actually do an actual footage of tea time out there doing my thing. Yeah, seriously.
Tea time.
Seriously. 100. That is a plan that is going to hopefully grow into fruition.
I love it. Tea time.
This thing is still frozen. Come on, jump. I know you could jump. You could do it. There you go. There you go. Perfect.
You did it, Derek. You did it. I love Step Brothers, by the way.
You, Alex, you're a fantastic speaker, man. You have such an intricate mind. And, you know, you use the word regimen often, you know, regimen, regimen, routine. And I, you know, compartmentalize, like you analyze and you weigh your pros and cons, man. It's a brilliant way to think. And you have a very intricate mind, man. The last thing is usually we let the guests say like, hey, you, any final words, but that last,
I kind of just gave it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was killer, man. That was right on topic, right on point, man.
I'm good at circling back and talking about, you know, kind of giving a quick rough review, because a customer will call and we'll go over a project, and a lot of times they'll email me a project and I'm just like, yeah, I'm just gonna call you and we'll figure this out over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy the phone. I enjoy, you know, vocal interaction, and we make friends with people, you know. That's how, you know,
a product of Center City right here,
you know. And you become friends with these people and you build these rapports through conversation. But anyway, so I'll call them and I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck you just typed. And we'll review it line by line by line to make sure that there's complete clarity and there's nothing wrong with that. But making sure, you know, the objectives are clear. So, yeah.
Well, Alex, thank you for joining me here on the Middleman Podcast. We're going to transition into tea time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. Like I said, any of your printing needs, please go check out Center City Print. You know, you are more than just that. You are a staple of the city. You know, if you see him out on the street, feel free to say hello.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I'll be like, oh hey, I won't know your name or whatever. And there's countless people who are like, hey, Alex. I'm like, hey, good morning. But yeah, anything, any print related stuff or whatever. We have a great staff at the Scranton store, great staff at the Kingston store. About a year and a half ago, we bought Steamtown Blueprint.
I saw that. Yep.
So yeah, so all your blueprinting needs, you get to see my buddy Liam there, and I'm hiding in the way back, you know, on the desk.
Shout out Liam. You're a great character. That's my really, really great friend. So like I said, everyone, thank you for watching the Middleman Podcast. We're going to transition into tea time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out.